plenty of things you could have made a solid opening about.
Could have made it cold.
You got Batman 50. You got Unraveled. You got Hammond. You got fucking Halo, the TV series.
But we've done, like, Overwatch too many times. We've done Halo maybe once. But anyways.
It was been
out of I'm your host, so Zach, who's drinking out of a poor coffee cup.
Your porg is not...
You ruined the illusion. How will all of our social media followers understand now?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Maybe you post a hipster picture to Instagram and...
They'll figure it out from there.
Yep. So who are you? Join with me. And as always. The great and fabulous.
I'm fabulous.
Steve.
Yas.
Yas, queen.
So in the greatest middle finger ever... New York Times.
Not even New York Times. Like
the internet.
Just like I think everybody fucking dropped the ball on this.
I know.
From what I'm seeing, DC itself kind of screwed the pooch on
okay,
this one.
Yeah, it's more the response. I'm just like, the fuck, dude. I mean, okay, we've been praising DC a lot recently, but we gotta call them out on this one. Like, what the fuck?
They pulled
man?
A Marvel.
Yeah. So. From CBR, John Cunningham, DC's senior vice president of sales, offered a 5-point response on the Comics Retailer Facebook group explaining why the publisher spoiled its own event.
So those of you who don't know,
Batman 50 got spoiled in the New York Times.
Yep.
By DC itself, as
yes.
it's turning out.
So number one, DC sales strongly advocated getting the news out ahead of the OSD, which I don't know what that
original
means.
Original sales date.
Thank you. So the moment of realization did not occur hours before the event began. We even did our level best to try and spoil it here on this page over and over again and failed. The New York Times article was posted here at 6:30 a.m. PST. Not out of pride, quote-unquote pride, please, but you get the information as soon as we could. Number two, in the abstract, we believe the news would break on Monday morning, given the arrival time of physical copies in store and the reality that a copy or a scan would end up being passed to uncontrolled comic book outlets, much like Marvel's wedding issue last week and every other major comic book outlet event in the late decade. I think it's supposed to be
or last. Actually, funny thing about the Marvel wedding, did you hear about it?
No.
So the whole thing, so the past Red five issues
there's
has been...
Still three more.
I know, I just wanted to interrupt. Guggenheim building up. X-Men Gold, the wedding of the century. Two X-Men are getting married. Kitty and Peter are getting married. Finally, after years upon years of romantic tension and Kitty dating other guys named Peter for a while, they're finally going to get married. And then she runs off the altar saying, I can't do this. And then Rogue and Gambit get married.
Like, actually married, or is it still the ploy?
No, they got married. Kelly Thompson's now writing a new series called Mr. and Mrs.
Okay,
X-Men.
I wasn't sure if they were still undercover.
So did they just straight up like hijack the wedding? Like,
okay,
Kitty
well,
ran on.
While
like,
you're
well,
all
we got
here.
A wedding here with all of our friends and loved ones.
Anyway,
let's
and
get married.
In the distance, Wolverine is sitting there in the bushes, going like, "Good job, kids." Much like he did in the Jean Grey Cyclops wedding.
He said, "Good job, bubs."
Maybe.
All right. Number three. As mentioned here before, any discussion about financial remedies for the problematic DC product must occur after the product is on sale. What?
Hold on. If people are canceling their orders or they want to return their comic because of outrage, I haven't looked at any spoilers. Don't at me.
I.e., people can't return their stuff until it goes on officially on sale.
Yep.
Number four. When the Times piece is more fulsome, that sick. SIFC, some might say. I'm sure. I think that means something. It does not spoil the shock ending of the book for fans. We're working on getting this posted here for you. Number five. I stand by my belief that Batman 50 is one of the best single issue periodicals of the last decade. That is a special moment in comic book history, and if that's not the book we, in parentheses, think we want, it's the book we need. Okay. I mean, I get your whole... We wanted to get out there before it leaked, but I mean, like, come on, man. The New York Times, of all people.
Well, the New York Times also spoiled stuff from everything else that has happened, or not even the New York Times, but think about all the major news outlets. It's like, Tony Stark's dead, and this young woman is now the new Iron Man, or Captain America hails Hydra.
It's like, please, please stop this. Why are you doing this?
Not even please stop this. It's I can't stand spoiler culture. Like,
but the book isn't even out for public consumption yet. That's the whole point of this.
And because people now know the ending, people are canceling their orders. And it's like, wow, so insert event occurred. I'm not going to get this comic anymore. It's like,
well, is it better that it would have been leaked or that DC had got ahead of the leak? I don't know in this situation.
In an ideal world, no leak whatsoever.
Well,
but
that's not going to happen. I know. According to DC's world. Logic, they're like, something's going to leak.
At the same time, yeah, it's like, why cancel your pre-order? I could say, oh, this Infinity War is coming up. Galactus eats Thanos. Cool. What led up to those points? Like, what's... You got A and Z. What about the in-between?
That's Amazon.
Yeah.
They have everything from
also,
A to Z.
I want to throw in this tweet from Tom King.
Technically,
about
it's like A to N. But
that he tweeted out 2 hours ago. Batman 50 is not the end. This is a 100-issue story documenting and celebrating the love of Batman and Catwoman. Whatever happens, whatever anyone says, nothing's going to spoil that. Hell yeah, Tom King.
I love Tom King to death, even though I'm still iffy on his parts of Batman, especially, you know, Dear Sweet Booster Gold.
I've been a real big fan of it just because the perspective he's taking from it, and also I just love Bruce and Selina. Like,
yeah.
I think it's just something that's gone unexplored for so long.
For sure. I'm very interested to see what this is, especially since a lot of people are saying the last page changes everything, and I'm like, okay, what does that mean?
What does that mean
in
Tom King's world?
Yeah.
It means a lot of things.
I mean, Mr. Miracle number 9, I don't want to be that person, but every issue of Mr. Miracle progressively just gets better.
Just like,
and like,
what
issue
is
9
going to happen?
Blew things out of the water even more. I'm like, how's this supposed to end in 3 issues?
It was like what I was talking to Tom King at DCC. He's like, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to end this story yet.
Guess what? It's not a limited series anymore.
Surprise.
Yeah.
That'd be a depressing long journey.
Just
goes past anything other than 12.
Yeah, I have complicated feelings. I'm mad that this got leaked.
At the same point, I think it would have been a better PR standpoint if it had just gotten leaked. Because then DC's just not, like, shooting themselves in the foot here.
Yeah, Twitter is all the way outraged. Gail Simone even came up to bash. She's like, guys, it's Tom King. Whatever story he's going to write is going to be worth it. Don't you worry. And, you know,
just because it got spoiled doesn't mean you're not going to want to read it.
Yeah. Or just because it got spoiled and you're upset at the ending, who's to say what happens in the future? Personally, more than anything else, I'm excited for issue 51 where Batman goes to court.
Oh, yeah. Where's the fucking repercussion? Oh, yeah. That's the court issue. We get no repercussions of whatever happens after this. But then we get Catwoman 1 this month.
Well, apparently Nightwing is going to take... Oh, like there's
yeah,
gonna be
he takes
some...
over for a little bit.
Yeah, he's taking over for Bruce for a while. And we see that leaked over into Batgirl where Barb and Dick are talking and, you know, go Dick Babs. But in the same way, Ben Percy came out to say, it's like, yeah, there's going to be some repercussions and this issue of Batman's going to tie in with this issue of Nightwing. I'm like, all right, I'm interested. Give me more of that Bat family dialogue because I hate the stories that's like, oh man, Nightwing and Bruce are best friends right now. And then you read another writer and they're totally hating each other. I'm like,
Bruce is doing everything wrong.
Do you guys not read each other's stuff or like under the same editorial blanket?
Well, isn't that like a lot of people's issues with big like running comics is like, well, what this person's doing this over here, but then they're over here. Like what's going on here?
But it's like two characters.
It's
granted,
true.
You know, Batman's under every Justice League in the world, but it's not like how Wolverine was part of the X-Men and the Avengers and some other stupid team all at the same time. I think Wolverine existing right now has been just as exciting as this Batman marriage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I want to jump back real quick to a little point. So Miss Marvel hit their 50th issue last week.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to them.
Yay! Go G Willow.
Amazing,
and all of her
still
artists.
Still amazing book. And they did the whole, this is a, I guess, kind of a small spoiler.
Spoiler culture outrage, internet fanboy.
But Kamala finally reveals to
her friends.
Yeah, her friends that she's Miss Marvel. Like, oh yeah, we've known for a while. We just wanted to wait, like, for you to wait. I'm like, I wonder if this is a trend that more and more writers are going to start doing of, like, let's just get rid of the secret identity thing. Because a lot of people, I've heard so many writers say that, like, that's their least favorite part is the whole secret identity.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you look at the Batman run Tom King has written, it's not necessarily a Bruce Wayne story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Scott Snyder played with both aspects of that. Even Dick, I love the Dick Grayson side stories, though, of him just being a civilian. Like, the best stories came from the Chuck Dixon era, where he was a cop in Bloodhaven as well as operating as Nightwing at night.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever finish all of Ultimate Spider-Man?
I read the last two arcs.
Okay. Well, no, like the OG Ultimate Spider-Man.
No, I've never read any of it.
Secret identities do not exist in the Ultimate Universe.
I think, like, everyone, it's always that interesting thing of, like, they keep it because they're like, oh, they're going to go after the ones I love. And then people write stories where it's like, no, they're fine. It's okay.
Well, my favorite thing was,
because you know they're going to go after them. It's like, of course you're just going to protect them. Like, duh, that's the obvious thing that's going to happen.
Well, in one of my favorite arcs, Wilson Fisk takes off Peter's mask and just goes, I have no idea who this is. And then just throws him off a building. And I'm like,
That's probably what would have happened.
There we go.
Cool. Also, like, if you think about every single comic story, every hero that has a secret identity, their loved ones still get fucked somehow. Like, it does nothing. It solves nothing.
I mean, look at Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. Just a random person. Of course. Yeah. Could have been anyone.
Yeah. Sad day.
Anyway, small rant over.
Yeah. So after spoiler outrage, talk about something moderately happy. So I'm still running my summer games done at a moderate pace.
Still waiting for the JRPG.
Skadam.
I just finished Unravel, which was frustrating, but a very cute, beautiful game.
I mean, I came into your room at one point, and you just kept doing the same puzzle over and over, and then just like, you want to try?
Yeah, I just handed over my control. I'm like,
did you hear me just like muttering like, fuck, shit, fuck, god.
Was that
damn
last
it.
Night?
That was, yesterday afternoon. Fucking Bayonetta.
Like, I was doing the same thing, playing Assassin's Creed China, but, like, Unravel, I was literally stuck on a puzzle for half an hour. Like, I just did not know how to proceed.
Meanwhile, I was kicking ass at Arena of Valor.
Yeah.
I'm in the closed beta test for it, and it's awesome.
Nice. Currently, I'm doing Assassin's Creed China. I don't think I should have played two puzzle games back-to-back, but the roulette wheel decided. It's fun. Like, it's entertaining, but there's no substance to the game as a whole. So
I mean, all those Chronicle stories I saw were just really lowly rated. It's like, yeah, they didn't really put much thought into these.
But in the Russia one, you get to play as Anastasia.
Like the Anastasia?
Yeah.
That is pretty neat.
Or...
Is she a Templar?
No, she's an assassin.
The Templars took over the Russian monarchy.
There you go. Or how...
Still waiting for Japan.
I think it was in one of the books. They talked about the fall of Julius Caesar. He was killed because he had a piece of Eden. And his assassins are literally like Brutus and Cassius.
Okay, small thing on Assassin's Creed. If we don't get the Japan one after Greece...
It'll never come out.
Yeah, it's never going to happen at this point. Then.
It's essentially going to be like how...
It's our Half-Life 3.
How Game Freak has come out and said, the very last Pokemon game we ever do will have everything in it. All regions, all Pokemon.
I mean, some people are thinking this new Smash is the last one that's ever going to come out.
Well,
I'm thinking that's what they're going to do with Assassin's Creed, of like, the last one we ever do, you'll get your fucking ninjas.
Well, I do appreciate how... Do you ever think... I'm sorry, I just got sidetracked by my own brain. But do you ever think the Japanese ninjas... were just like
the worst ones
because they were always seen.
Yeah, there was a worldwide syndicate of ninjas.
I mean,
have
you seen their actual equipment? They have freaking paddles to walk on water.
Hmm.
They have.
They're not
a
very silent.
Clay jar full of shards of glass.
They're not the quietest people.
Like powderized glass that the enemy is supposed to inhale and is supposed to shred their insides. What the fuck, ninjas?
Well, that's why they always wore their masks. But the sidetrack. I just lost track of what I was going to say.
Unravel,
but,
Smash last
one. Oh, well, we live in a day and age of downloadable content. it makes sense for them to release Smash as one game for the entire Switch era and then just tweak it as they go.
Well, that's the thing is they've only released one Switch per console generation. We had 64. Or one Smash. What did I say?
You say Switch. One Switch per generation.
You know what I'm saying. But yeah, one Smash per generation.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii U / 3DS one was the first one to do DLC because...
Bayonetta, Robin, Cloud.
Corrin. Robin was already in there. They put Corrin in. I think that was it. Ryu.
I know. Nintendo's like finally adapting to the modern gaming landscape.
I just hope that the DLC for Smash, they make you go out and buy the amiibo. Because then I could justify like, all right, $10 for a character. Why not? I get an amiibo of Waluigi. It's never going to happen.
You already have an amiibo of Waluigi.
But another. I really should go to that Target clearance rack and just buy like three of them. Just decorate. Put a random Waluigi somewhere in the
house.
I'm
still waiting for you to get a JRPG or The Witcher on the
It's going to happen. There's like
it's going to be the end. It's going to be the fucking end of summer. It's like, well not
I did
happen.
Say I told you yesterday, but as soon as Project Octopath comes out, that's going to actually like insert itself supersede into my itself. Play. Yeah, because I really do want to play it. It's a new Square Enix title.
It's the people who made Bravely Default.
Exactly. I love Bravely Default.
And from what I've heard of like early previews, people are saying it's Bravely Default, but better.
Yeah, and Bravely Default 1 and 2 are also on my list. I just never finished them.
Even just playing the prologue demo, I'm really excited for it. The thing that's kind of got me iffy is the one story I played through so far is the Ranger. And they're going all in with her speaking medieval.
Yep. We will fight the enemy.
Thou art going on a hunt.
I have figured out which one I'm playing first.
I love it. I'm just like sitting there like, you don't have to speak medieval for me. You don't have to do it.
I really hope like a twist is like, it's just all an act. Like yeah, she's like secretly just
British accent.
She's just role playing the whole time.
Or they live in a village where they speak medieval and everyone's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Where did you come from?
Ah, thou's want to join me for a beverage.
The fuck are you?
I mean, I'll have a drink with you, homie, but sure.
Now I like to imagine that in their village, they're the only one that speaks that way, and everyone else is like thug gangster.
they're the theater Shakespearean kids, and everyone else is from the hood.
Like, God damn it, they're there again.
It's like, thou want to give me an ale? I'll give you a Jack and Coke, dog. maybe some purple drink. It's like, yes, your finest beverage.
Now the question for me will be, do I just revert into the melee class like I always eventually do?
So there's 8 paths, hence Octopath. We all can't play the same starting one. So we're going to have a serious discussion.
I was explaining to you...
I choose Ranger.
You can actually play all the characters' stories in one playthrough. They just become different quest lines.
Yeah, you just have to recruit them.
Yeah, recruit them, and then you can swap like what your main quest is, which is really cool that you can like just jump between them. It's like, I want to do this quest line now.
Although, you know, every time I see the trailer where it's like going over each of the classes, it makes me think of the old Dungeons & Dragons cartoon TV show where it's
Acrobat.
Him going down the coast.
You got like, the perfect warlock.
Be you a ranger? Warrior? Wizard? Acrobat.
He was supposed to be like the bard, right? Or the
thief. I feel like they're supposed to be like the monk, but it's like they ran out of cool class names. It's like
shit.
Cart pusher. Monkey butler.
I also like the thief class. Maybe I might start with that.
I haven't looked. I'm going in like essentially mostly blind. I just know like the premise of the game. Like, all right. That's all I needed to know.
Well, you could be the dancer and seduce everyone to fight for you.
That was the original E3 demo.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, as the dancer, you can dance for them and then call in battle later, a.k.a. dance for me and you'll be a sacrifice later.
What I think is cool about this game is like when the first demo came out, they actually took all the feedback. They're like, all right, we're going to make a lot of changes now. And then everyone was like, yeah, this is great. Like, thank you. Thank you for making all these changes. It's like, good job. Is it Tokyo RPG Factory making it? Is that the studio behind it?
They're published by Square.
Square
Nintendo, developed by Acquire.
Okay.
Square and Acquire.
So not Tokyo RPG?
No.
That's I Am Setsuna, Lost Sphere.
Yeah.
Which I've heard Lost Sphere is not great.
It's like they wanted to do another I Am Setsuna, but at least from the demo. But it didn't really live up to it.
Yeah.
They have weird transformations. It's like, yeah, you could put on this mech suit. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Hold on. So
even though it's played in the same way, it uses the Bravely system. They did not, Acquire did not make Bravely Default.
Really?
Instead, they made the Tenchu series, where you are an actual ninja. Things going back to circling around. There we go. Yeah, the Bravely system, I want to say Square actually made that game.
Was it a Square in-house game? Hang on.
Because it's all Square classes.
Do some fact check.
Silicon Studio. How did I get there faster than you? I'm on my cell phone.
Because I had to type it. You already had it open.
No, I just had to type it too. I have a smaller keyboard. Yeah, Silicon made the game, Bravely Default series.
I was lied to. Tim Geddes!
He used the Bravely system. So, yeah, Grand Sphere, Bravely Second and Lair, Terra Battle, Three Kingdom Card Battle, Operation Darkness, a bunch of different games. But yeah, I'm super excited.
But I mean, for real, looking at the breakdown of the characters, the warrior, the dancer, the merchant...
The merchant would be fun too.
The apothecary,
poison people.
Then we get back to the traditional class: the hunter, the thief. It's like, who in there was like, all right, we got warrior, hunter, thief. I don't know. I guess dancer. They could be like a bard. What else we got? Apothecary. They can make potions. Cool. What else? Merchant.
What do they? Why they bribe people.
But again, think about
they find good treasure.
It's like each of those classes is going to tell a unique story and change the gameplay, which is the point.
This is the point of the game. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like your traditional old school RPG, mm-hmm. but then we're going to do a modern twist on it where it's like, all right, this is going to drastically affect how you play.
Yeah. Like,
do you think the dancers are going to just gather all of her allies by dancing for them?
Possibly.
Just as like a freaking entourage following her.
She danced for me.
It's like you have your party and then the entourage from the dancer.
Like, I'm willing to die for her. She danced for me once. I'm sorry, what?
Her hips did not lie.
Shorty got low, low, low.
Why?
Why not?
Usually I'm the one that gets us off track badly. But now it's just like, oh, man. Hang on. I was looking at...
We're about to delve into even more chaos.
Yeah, but speaking of which, I was looking at other D&D classes just because it's like, what if I really do want to make another character eventually?
Acrobat.
Like, I found one. There's no acrobat in 5e.
There's acrobat.
But there is one called the Blood Cursed that I think would be really fun.
There's the Critical Role Blood Hunter.
Made by Matt Mercer. Yeah, you can also play a Gunslinger made by Matt Mercer.
But I can also be a demon eater. Individuals that suffer from demon blight, causing their soul to emit a toxic aura simply called malevolence, slowly turning them into demons. I'm like, ooh.
So they're just like slowly being corrupted.
And there is a dancer in 5e. There's also Dark Lord. Which is the opposite of Bright Lord. Thank you, Wikipedia. Yeah. And a detective class. A doctor class. A Dorogon no Senshi.
All right.
Traveler chosen by celestial beings to become a warrior of dragons. God, and I picked a bard again.
Samir? I don't know how you say him. Asimir.
Anyways, speaking of new character classes,
I found it.
Overwatch has announced their 28th hero.
Come on, say it. Come on, give them their classes.
Says it so fluently.
And acrobat.
Cavalier and acrobat. Okay.
Also, after this, I need to show you the best Geico commercial ever.
Ooh, a Gungeoneer.
Oh my god.
Assuming a spearman.
Hamid, the goddamn hamster, with a hamster ball of death.
Everyone thought he was going to be an ape.
No.
Well, he was on the reef state. He must be an ape.
Surprise.
Joke's on you. They experimented on a hamster, too.
He speaks through an AI. And sounds like the Terminator.
I had to double check. I really thought it was going to be a Velociraptor. Just because Hammond's also in Jurassic Park.
Because the creator of Jurassic Park was John Hammond. You'd think they're going to infringe on copyrights.
Well, you know, they could have just been like, hey, it's a little cheeky, his name is Hammond, but he's really Wrecking Ball.
For real, though, everyone's like, petition is like, Blizzard, please call him Hammond. Nobody calls him Wrecking Ball.
Still like, cool, his name in the Thunderdome was Wrecking Ball. I'm going to call him Hammond. Winston doesn't have a code name. Maybe yes, Tracer is a code name.
Everyone technically does have a code name.
Zari doesn't.
Reinhardt doesn't.
Reinhardt doesn't. Symmetra. May doesn't. Symmetra.
Soldier 76. Reaper. Mercy. Genji. I don't know. But anyway.
Genji's his name. Hanzo is his name.
But in the same vein, it's just like, can you imagine playing, especially on the competitive scene? Oh, fuck. We got Wrecking Ball. And then it's like, does that mean like the attack combination of like the Graviton Surge and like then Reinhardt? It's just like, no, we got a hamster with guns and a mech, and it's just like, all right.
This is the game we
live in now. But this is the line people have drawn. This line. They're like, no, this is stupid. This is worse. Overwatch character. We already had a talking gorilla. This is where you draw your line, a hamster. Let's look at the other character made out of nanites, or the person who can literally resurrect the dead. But you draw the line
at
a hamster.
Never forget the talking robots.
You draw the line at a hamster.
The sentient robots.
Robot Gandhi, who floats. No one else has figured out this technology. Mercy has wings. She can't sustain herself in the air, and neither can...
Well, she can now.
Pyrrha, or Pyrrha.
R.I.P.
Don't say that. Bring some sore feelings. But it's like, Robot Gandhi, who floats, but a talking hamster a ball is where you draw the line.
How does he float, though? Like,
we don't know.
Nirvana.
He floats silently, too. It's not like he has jet engines that are keeping him afloat.
He never touches the ground.
Yeah, no, he floats. Well, he touches the ground when he dies.
We don't talk about that.
But Hammond looks just like a stupidly fun character. I don't think he's very good, though.
He looks like he's just pure chaos.
Yeah, like, it's just I'm just going to swing here.
He is meant to poke.
He's like,
it's like, all right,
he's pure zone control.
What class is he?
He's tank. A tank.
Okay.
He's more along the lines of like a Roadhog tank, or he's not meant to protect.
He's meant to soak damage. He's a control tank.
He's meant to soak damage and poke whenever he needs
to. Well, he's a control tank because if you think about it, when he swings, he's like, all right, I'm not fucking going that way because I can't. And then he drops the minefield on everything. It's like, all right, well, we can't go on there for right now or this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all he does, though, other than just being, like, ridiculous and, like, people having just too much fun with him.
Yeah, I can really see where he is going to be beneficial in, like, competitive scene.
I don't know how he fits into competitive is the thing.
But that's the thing.
It's like, I don't know what they're going to do
You're not out of control. You're not in control, Zach. Vin Diesel once spoke those words.
He also spoke of a nice cold Corona.
I will be curious of like what people come up with, because I did watch like some PTR footage and the guy's just laughing the whole time. He's like, this character is so dumb,
like,
but he's literally so fun.
All of like the PTR footage I watched from IGN, it was 90% them doing like just flying around with
just
a wrecking
spinning,
ball.
Yeah.
And then occasionally they'd shoot and throw their shield and throw their ult out.
Yeah,
and
it's like, okay.
But it's like,
I just want to spin here.
I mean, he could be good as like a distraction, especially with that.
Again, zone control. Just funnel people into a certain
path. The adaptive shield of like, all right, I can jump down here, shoot people, throw my mines out, and then shoot right out and before they even get that shield down.
Apparently, you can shoot the mines while you're flying. So I imagine it's like, whee.
Oh, God.
Just drop them on top of
you. That would be so hard to control, though, because if you're going at like maximum spin. It's like, all right, hit Y now. Oh, they're all flying in the air.
Well, shit.
They got to come down eventually.
I feel bad for Reinhardt. Like, he's just getting destroyed by all these new characters.
It's like, so, when is my baby boy gonna get, like, a Gatling gun on his hammer?
He needs, like, something just to counter all this mobility displacement. Yeah.
Is he the only... Well, I guess there's Doomfist, but is he in Doomfist the only... Well, Doomfist can shoot. Is he the only character that doesn't have a gun, technically?
Yeah, the only projectile he has is his
fire flame slash. Strike. Yeah.
He's a pure melee class.
That sucks.
I mean, it wouldn't be as bad if he wasn't so fucking buggy.
Like, they should give him missiles also. Like, you have the shield missiles. Up, and then they fly up what they, and then
like
down.
The lion's mouth.
What they need is, like, somehow incorporate the Risa, like the fortify thing, so he can't be stunned or moved, and then I think he'd be okay. The problem is he can be, like, literally bounced by anything.
Yep.
Junkrat mine, Hammond's gonna bounce him around like a freaking baseball.
He's not necessarily in the meta for the competitive scene anymore, is he?
Well, he was because Zarya, Hanzo, Reinhardt was so good. He's kind of like... they've kind of fallen off him a little bit. Depends on the map.
Yeah.
He's played...
Fix Reinhardt 2018.
He's played, but he's still buggy as all hell.
That's the mountain I'm going to die on.
No, he does need to be fixed. Like, it's so bad, like, how inconsistent
he should be. Like Harley Quinn, he flips a switch and then a missile comes out of his hammer and he just lobs that also.
I'm telling you, just put a Gatling gun right in the tip of the hammer and just...
I think there is, like, a list of... I did see something about, like, the next PTR patch is going to have a bunch of...
Oh, you're looking that up. One of the cool things I saw with everyone having fun is Hammond. And it's like, don't you ever kill one of them. Someone reskinned him with D.Va's colors. And it's like, please give Hammond a D.Va skin. But then again, it's at the same point. It's like, oh my god, there's a giant robot with Gatling guns. Which one?
There's a giant robot tank with Gatling guns.
And it's pink. Shit.
Sombra bug fix.
I do love the gif of, like, it's like, all right, I destroyed his mech. It blew up. It's like, where'd Hammond go? You just see the little body falling to the ground. It's like, oh, God, no.
That's it? There's only one?
What I want,
All right, well, that was unexpected.
Other Omnic, like, literal Omnic, like, Orisa's need and all. But I want, like, another Zenyatta character. It's like... Look, we have all this really sweet, cool lore. The Omnics are involved in almost every cinematic. But, you know, we just got Robot Gandhi. It's like, give me an attack Omnic. Like, give me someone who looks like Zenyatta, but has, like, blades on his arms. God, that's horrifying.
Suddenly, like, Omnic Wolverine is announced.
It's like the Tracer from the one event. The assassin character in the Reaper Blackwatch event. I think it's literally called Assassin.
Yeah. Where she's jumping around with the blades and pounces on you.
And then there we could have another melee character that can fuck up Reinhardt and just walk through a shield at any given point.
Look, I don't even want to hear shit from you. You ain't no Reinhardt main. I know the pain. I know the struggle.
I watch Reinhardt main struggle. I'm there trying to protect them.
I play Zenyatta.
Hey, you play D.Va, who can fly away and doesn't stop when they stub their pinky toe on a wall. And you have a shield that absorbs damage, not just...
And it should be longer again. Bring the shield back.
No.
Yeah.
No. Seeing as it recharges D.Va's as fine. Fast as it does.
D.Va's fine now.
Oh, no. You're firing your ultimate absorb.
D.Va's in a perfectly fine
spot. That's
right
an
now.
Actual achievement, though. Absorb damage.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you should make it longer.
Exactly.
Oh, Zarya's shooting her ultimate? Nope.
No. Nom.
Be great. Anyways, Hammond's really cool. I can't wait for him to go public. It'll be interesting. Next on the docket is a bunch of movie things. So, Animosity, a beloved comic developed by Aftershock, or published by Aftershock, written by Marguerite Bennett and artist Rafael De La Torre, has been optioned for a film by Legendary Entertainment. Animosity tells the story of a world where animals become sentient and begin to speak. I love showing people this comic because I'm like, it's Disney gone
It's also, wrong. Yeah, it gets so fucked.
Killer whale.
See, those are like the lighthearted moments, and then there's a fucking bee swarm that's like murdering people with thumbtacks.
Or the deer with the grenades hanging from its antlers.
There's some fucked scenes in this series. It's like The Last of Us, but replace Joel with a bloodhound. That's essentially what this... And then instead of the clickers, you just have more animals that are just pissed off at humanity.
There's a turtle that has guns strapped to its back. It's awesome. But I would... I almost envision this to be more of a TV series, just because is fairly episodic.
I also don't know how you fit that much into 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's too complicated. Like, Marguerite Bennett loves exposition and long, drawn-out storylines. Like, it's just not going to work. Like, unless you're just going to tell a story within that world, great. That'll work. Because, I mean, the world's freaking huge in this. So, I mean, there's already two other spinoff comics telling her, Jesse's, I think, her brother story in San Francisco.
Which is where Jesse's trying to get
to. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and that it's like, that's showing like all the political chaos that's being ensued like within the cities, because Jesse's story is like mostly in the rural parts as she's traveling across the country. So it's like you get those two different dichotomies of the what's going on in the world.
For sure. I'm, like I said, it would be amazing if it were like an HBO show.
So they needed to go dark.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fairly dark. It's episodic in nature. Each episode could be like, I don't know, a part of me imagines it almost like a Telltale game, even just because of how it's Clementine's story of how they're just traveling for God knows how long, constantly.
Yeah, I think they're, I can't remember where they ended.
The newest season. Season, Clementine's an adult. And I'm just like, oh.
Whoa, fast forward.
Yeah, dear sweet Clem. And she has another child that she's trying to save and rescue. And it's just like, oh God, they're going to kill Clem. Please don't kill
her. She's going to get lead.
Yeah. It's amazing how we had two characters that came out at the same time that had two totally different war paths. Because Ellie and Clem came out fairly close together.
Yeah. And now Ellie's about to just murder everyone.
Everyone. Everything.
And she's gonna kill them all.
Story of hate. She went to the gangster Shakespearean town and got tattoos. Hateth.
Dost thou hateth?
Dost hate. Knuckle tattoos. All right. Other things that are happening. Halo TV series. We're skipping over Nightfall. Nightfall was great. We're just gonna brush past that one a little bit. And.
Was it Forward Unto Dawn? That was the good one.
Forward Unto Dawn.
What was the one with the recruit?
Forward Unto Dawn, the movie.
It was a series. It was like a 4-part miniseries.
That was the one with Spartan Locke? Because there was never one about Recruit.
Yeah, there was.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was.
No.
Yes, they're definitely.
All right, we're all busting out our cell phones. Granted, Zach has his computer in front of him because this is how we do things.
Yeah. I have a mic in front of me. I gotta switch windows.
Oh God! I just hit like every ad in existence.
Yes, the web series Forward Unto Dawn.
That wasn't about Recruit though. That was about Palmer. Was it not? That was about Lackey.
Halo Recruit brings the Xbox series to mixed reality. So there was a mixed reality experience about a recruit.
Lasky. Yeah, it's Forward Unto Dawn.
Is Forward Unto Dawn.
Then that's who I'm talking about.
Lasky's not Recruit.
I said a recruit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about ODST Recruit.
No, a recruit.
Well, Lasky's technically a cadet because he's...
Okay, it was on YouTube and Waypoint. Sorry.
Yeah. Forward Unto Dawn's awesome.
That was an actually good series and like had good production value.
What was the movie we tried to watch?
Oh, Fall of Reach.
Yep.
That was completely bad CG.
Not like, good.
Oh God, we're being attacked by bad CG.
It's like early or late PS2 era CG.
Like, oh God!
If you took the voices out and then dubbed it with just rah, 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 it would fit.
Ugh.
Like these
bad CG is a plague upon us all.
No lip flaps on the CG.
Are we talking about like Berserk bad or worse?
Worse.
Oh no!
But like Forward Unto Dawn was great, and Nightfall was like we're on this. Shard of a Halo ring, I think it was, with Sergeant Locke, and then the worms from the hunters were the bad guys, the colony.
Huh.
Don't get me wrong. There's probably a good story in there. I just never finished it. I fast forward through all of it so I can get the special helmets in Halo 5.
Yep. Put it on in the background. Didn't even pay attention to it.
Yeah. So with that, oh my God, where am I? I have like six tabs open on my phone now. That just... Halo TV series is finally happening. Is this the rumored Steven Spielberg
one? This is the rumored Spielberg.
Yeah. He's coming back after he was originally on the project.
After the movie got put in...
God, you remember that test footage from year like 2007 that everyone was like, this looks fucking awesome. Where is this?
What did it eventually get turned into?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I thought it got canned. I thought they like kind of took that test footage and was like, we can make something out of this.
No, I don't think they did.
I mean, that was around the age of, like, let's leak test footage and see what happens.
But that was, like, actually good test footage. Like, they had fucking the Covenant, like, attacking them.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, this was, like, more than test footage, I felt like.
Mm-hmm. So, Showtime has ordered a 10-episode season of Halo. Episodes are set to be an hour long. The TV show comes from 343 Industries, which currently owns all the rights to the Halo series, and Amblin Television, a production company founded by Spielberg and his friends. Kyle Killen, the creator, showrunner of Awake and Lone Star, will serve as executive producer and showrunner and writer. Rise of the Planet of the Apes director Rupert Wyatt has been taped to direct a handful of episodes, and he's also executive producing. So it looks like they are making giant leaps in trying to make sure this is good. I mean, again, it's kind of like the E3 argument that, like, yeah, Microsoft did pretty okay, but look at Sony's video games. Like, Microsoft has the Halo series, Gears, Super Lucky Tale.
And now they bought 5 studios, so hopefully that turns out something.
Yeah, but it's like, we live in an age, and I'm not sure if video game mascots are all that necessary anymore, but...
I'm trying to bring them back.
Yeah, like...
With Crash and Spyro.
But Crash and Spyro are cross-platform now.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, remember the days of like, oh, Spyro, I have to go get my PlayStation. Oh, Halo, that's an Xbox thing. Flagships are... as important anymore, but since this is so important to Microsoft as a whole, it's like, we have to do good on this. Please, let's do as much possible for this.
Do you think this could lead to them resurrecting the Gears of War movie and put it into a TV show?
No.
I don't know.
Gears is already really cinematic.
I mean, I don't know. Halo has, like, all these different conflicts because it's across a universe. Gears is pretty isolated to just the planet, and it... I mean, they haven't really explored much of it.
The same concept of,
but
like...
I don't know what...
The Halo series could take place with any character, mm-hmm. anywhere. Like, oh,
and
man.
There's a lot of different stories you can tell with that.
The Troy Denning books about... Onyx and then the Spartan 3 mm-hmm. program, and then it's like, oh wait, but we could do the Spartan 4 program, and it's like, how did Locke become a Spartan? How did Palmer become a Spartan? Which I think gets explained somewhere, but if anything, it's like, you know, dude, Forerunners. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like Gears, I don't know how many different stories you can realistically
tell. I
see Gears
being more of a movie or two. Like, do a normal Gears movie, a war movie with the locusts.
Again, the most interesting
Gears movie, Saving Private Ryan.
Gears 5 is probably the most excited I am for a Gears story, just because I want to explore what they're going to do with Kate's story. Just because she's the most interesting character we've had in so long in that series.
And the fact that they're actually explaining lore.
Yeah, like, we've heard, it's like, oh, why are the the locusts were here all along. Okay. Explain.
Like the Klaxosaurs. Well, it's like Halo. There's so much lore that's explored between the books,
yeah.
the TV shows and movies. Like Halo 3, it's like, yes, the Forerunners, which you heard about in Halo 1, but here's some of their stories. By the way, here's Syndicate Bias from that Halo 2 map. I'm like, the fuck? Like, I can literally read the Halo Wikipedia for hours, which I have done. It's just can't sleep, you know, whatever. Yeah. Gears, I'm excited for Gears 5, and I've not really played a game in that franchise.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I appreciate that they're like, they finished off the original story. It's like, yeah, this is, we know what it was. It was the action-packed, big burly men blowing up things.
Which is what and we all need.
And then broke your heart with Dom.
What about Ty when he shot his head off?
That was just head off. So fucking brutal. It seemed is heartbreaking though. It's just like
those are Dom's tomatoes.
Yeah.
Sorry,
this fucking tomato scene.
I think I was with you.
Yeah, it's like Gears 4 is like, okay, JD's all right, I guess, but it's like, please give me more Kate. I like Kate a lot.
Or it's like
even then,
back Marcus.
It's like even in Gears 4, they were setting it up for Kate's story the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like you're playing as JD, but Kate's really the important one here.
Like just the end, they're like, yeah, no, it's a Kate story. Like don't kid yourself about
like,
JD.
Here's this bombshell.
Right after a fucking mech fight.
Yeah.
You get two mechs, a helicopter blade, and just destroying.
It's like, this is the most Gears of War moment ever, and I'm so into it.
It's like, all right, yeah, shooting, running, yeah. I'm sorry, you want to give me a what now? Let me just crank the testosterone up to 100,000.
Thank you, Culture, Baird.
Yeah, I was going to say, even Gears 4 seemed like you're kind of just waiting until Marcus took back
it was
over.
Like the Yeah, it was like the nostalgia trip. It's like, hey, here's all the gangs all back together now. Yay.
But when they tried to explore other people's stories, it didn't really succeed well. Then they do a Baird game.
Yep. Judgment.
Well,
Judgment was not good.
Yeah.
Story-wise,
the story was okay. The multiplayer was poopy garbage. Okay. And that was also because it wasn't done by the main company. It was People Can Fly.
Yeah.
They did
Bulletstorm,
yeah.
It's a cult
Bulletstorm,
game.
And I wish they would do a sequel, but it's the combat and all of that of Bulletstorm does not translate to a Gears game.
Okay, no.
Like it's way too fast paced, like balls to the wall action. Like you don't need cover; you just whip someone, pull them, and kick them, shoot them.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Gears, you're like, all right, let me get into cover.
Yeah, gotta find those chest high walls.
Tactical games, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Next on our list, speaking of TV series that are being made, the Watchmen pilot adds Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, known as Black Manta, and Sarah Vickers. So this is the HBO pilot for Watchmen made by Damon Lindelof. This cast is huge. So there's Regina King, Don Johnson, Jeremy Irons, Tim Blake Nelson, Louis Gossett Jr., Adelaide Clemens, Andrew Howard, Tom Meissen, Francis Fisher, and Jacob Ming Trent. So it's like just a ton of huge big name people in it. And it really makes me curious to see what this story is, because Lindelof posted this giant letter on Instagram a while back we talked about. But for those of you who have not heard of it, he said that his vision for the series is not a retelling of the story from the original graphic novel, but rather a new story in the same world with new characters set in the present day. The original story followed a group of crime fighters, whereas this new story may reference them or in the process.
So we had before Watchmen, now this is post-Watchmen.
That's not Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
Lindelof said some of the characters will be unknown, new faces, new masks to cover them. We also intend to revisit the past century of costume adventuring through a surprising yet familiar set of eyes, and it is here we will be taking our greatest risks. Jeremy Irons' character was revealed to be a character named the Blonde Man, and it's like
cough cross Ozymandias.
Yeah, it's like, well, are you supposed to be Ozzy? That's the only logical thing. I'm interested to see how this show goes, just because it's such a crazy concept. Like, I would have loved if they just called it something completely different, and then the last episode you reveal it's the Watchmen universe.
Yeah. That would be pretty neat. Ugh. We need more of that. We need those surprises of things we just never expect.
I watched Split.
Oh, yeah. How excited are you for Glass? They're combining them.
I know.
Shyamalan cinematic universe.
I can't believe it.
The
skew. So, like, I was reading about it. So I watched Split the other day. And I'm like, oh yeah, I heard James McAvoy was in this movie, and it's supposed to be a horror movie. And then I heard some of the stuff with Glass. So I'm like watching it. I'm like, okay, he has 24 personalities. That's why it's called Split. Got it. And then it's like The Beast. And then the end of the movie, it's like, oh, who is that guy who did all those crazy terrorist acts? Oh, that was Mr. Glass. And then it's
Panda Bruce Willis.
Yeah, it's Bruce Willis. And I'm like, how did he get permission from Disney to do that? And reading it is like, yes, he had to get permission from Disney because they, the original producers for Unbreakable.
Were they really?
Or like they were the parent company in which.
Whoever did.
Probably and like a Vista. I can't remember what the.
Sky Vista?
No, they have like a.
Well, you look that up. They were talking and it's like, well, if there's a third sequel, Disney's going to produce it. And it's like taking the Unbreakable universe, you have Split.
Which they already confirmed are in the same universe.
Yep, with Bruce Willis's character. And then you have Glass, and apparently Glass has been manipulating the events for this story as well. So whereas Unbreakable was Bruce Willis's character story, I think his name is John, and Split was James McAvoy's, then you have Glass where James McAvoy as the Beast is running around wreaking havoc, and Bruce Willis, the Unbreakable one, has to go in and stop him.
Ah, Buena Vista, that was what it was called.
Okay. Ah, yes, of course.
So I'm...
It makes me actually want to go watch Split and Unbreakable, because I've never actually seen either of them.
You might poop your pants during Split.
Is it that terrifying?
You haven't seen Split? Oh.
It looked terrifying, so I'm just like,
It's not terrifying, it's very psychological.
Well, there's the part where he eats people.
It's just disturbing. It's not like...
It's...
Like, I'm going to throw up. It's just more like... That's a person eating a person.
It's not.
Is this person alive still?
No, okay. They're dead.
Like he like butchered like Hannibal Lecter style.
No,
God. There's no fava beans and nice Chianti.
So, Unbreakable. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's a really great straight thriller movie, and like again, the twist. It was the beginning of the twists.
Unbreakable was distributed by Buena Vista Pictures.
Yeah, but like. There's that twist, which made it a really cool, like, action thriller. Split's more of, like, a horror thriller. And he even said, like, in some cuts of the film, it almost turned into a comedy. Just because there's certain scenes where you're in James McAvoy's head and you see his council of 24 personalities fighting for control of the light, which is control of his body. And you see them kind of argue and bicker with one another. It's really cool. I really enjoy those parts.
Like, I went in kind of hesitant because it was a Shyamalan movie. He hasn't had the best track record lately.
He's trying to gain ground again.
Like, he had his peak very early, and then it kind of just dive-bombed.
What?
And then stayed stagnant for a little bit. And then...
Avatar. Oh, no.
The last shitbender happened. I'm out. And
he took a break.
And you know, he...
We're glad we never got those other two movies. Thank God.
Say, like, looking back at it now where they had... The post-credit scene with Azula. It's like, you thought you were getting more movies.
But Split was really great. I do highly recommend that
Split
film.
Was fantastic.
And just the bombshell at the end of, like, Mr. Glass. I'm like, wait, where have I heard that? Again, we need more surprise. This is like that.
Just because it's like, that's really cool that we're doing this.
But it's like,
it's like those things you actually never saw coming.
Yeah. Which, you think about it, I was trying to, like, what was, like, the original twist ending?
Sixth Sense?
Planet of the Apes.
Like, oh, not like Shyamalan, the original.
Like, the original,
OG.
Like, started where it was like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
No, Citizen Kane.
I wouldn't call that...
That's a pretty big twist.
It is a big twist, but it's not the level of...
Okay, it's not like the... It's not the start of the mind fuck.
Yeah, like... Citizen Kane is a cinematic masterpiece. I will be one of those hipster film critics about it. And
it's doing the clapping.
I don't know, just like you said, Planet of the Apes is just like, oh shit.
Whereas you think he's just on a different planet, like somewhere else in the galaxy. And then no. He's on future Earth. To where it's like, oh shit, like could this actually happen to Earth? And
yeah.
And then we got a trilogy that was actually good.
Yeah.
Nobody expected. First one was a little shaky, but then the second two are...
But James Franco, man, come on.
Two and three are just like, damn, those are good.
Yeah. Speaking of sci-fi stuff, YouTube, of all people, have picked up a new anthology series to develop. Jordan Peele's sci-fi anthology, Weird City, has been ordered. This is coming from The Hollywood Reporter, which I strongly recommend never going on if you don't want things spoiled. So the straight series pickup comes less than a month after Peele and his Monkey Paw Productions inked an overall TV deal with Amazon Studios. So he has another thing in the works there.
Busy man.
Yeah, dude, he's a monster. So each episode of Weird City will explore issues that pertain to present-day life in Weird, stories that can
it's his Black Mirror.
Yeah.
It's his Twilight Zone.
Yeah, stories that can and only be told through a prism of sci-fi and comedy that will debut in 2019. Adam Bernstein, who directed Fargo and Scrubs, is set to direct the first two episodes. Jose Molina from The Tick will serve as the showrunner and executive producer. Jordan Peele, Charlie Sanders, and Adam Bernstein will also executive produce alongside Monkey Paw's Wynn Rosenfeld. So yeah, there's a lot of cool things. Like Jordan Peele talked about this, saying that Charlie Sanders and I worked on some Key and Peele sketches that took on everything from Black Republicans to Continental Breakfast to Family Matters. Now with YouTube, we present a series of comedy-driven, twisted-ass science fiction stories that take place in a world close to ours, but just a little bit off. And he said he's been working on the series since 2015, and when it was originally going to go to Hulu, but stuff happened. But yeah. So, and then I also learned that there's a Twilight Zone reboot in the works by Simon Kinberg and Marco Ramirez.
We already have that. It's called Black Mirror.
Yeah,
they've done this again.
I mean, no, and I'm surprised you haven't watched Electric Sheep. It's on Amazon.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Is it based on the Android's Dream of Electric Sheep?
Well, that's Blade Runner.
Yeah,
but it's all Philip K. Dick short stories.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You should check it out, though. I think you would like it. Amazon Prime. Yay. But yeah, so a lot of sci-fi stuff coming out, a lot of anthology things. And the biggest news of this week that no one was expecting, but everyone was the DC Universe app has officially been announced as a streaming service due in September. This is from comicbook.com, saying the app will be home to movies, TV, and comics. All of which will draw on DC's decades-long well of intellectual property, animated and live-action series, will populate the app. Craig Hunnigs, the president of Warner Bros. Digital Networks, states that developing new ways for our consumers to access some of our most popular content and iconic brands and franchises, as well as exclusive new content wherever they want on the devices they choose, is one of our studio's top priorities. The DC Universe platform gives fans a place to tailor their experience and build a direct relationship with DC in a way they never could before. Kind of goes along with a Walmart statement. The app will have spaces for breaking news, fan interaction, and an ever-growing DC encyclopedia. Guess what I'm going to be reading, as well as opportunities to earn rewards, participate in contests, and buy exclusive merch.
Oh God, there's a rewards program.
They announced their first big merch, and it's like the Justice League of 2003 cartoon action figures.
Oh my God.
Like, they're all 6-inch figures, I think. And it's just like, I need to buy all
of them.
Tom
King will take two.
I have to get this app so I can spend more money. So developed by Warner Bros. Television, Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol are scheduled to debut in 2019. Damn. Following the live action adventures series Titans, which is apparently like a rated R series, the not for your
Fuck
children to
yes.
watch, which premieres later this year.
That's what I want to hear. I want to see some brutality.
But here's what you don't want to hear. Warner Bros. Animation is also developing a slate of animated TV series based on fan favorites, including Harley Quinn, which is not the bad news, and the long-awaited third season of popular Young Justice animated series scheduled in 2019.
God damn it! You promised us 2018! Did you not? You said it was launching with the freaking content.
That's how you get people to sign up.
But see, they didn't say when in 2019. They could still do January.
They originally said 2018 was when it was going to develop.
Right, yeah. But by 2019, they could also say January 2019.
Yeah, so all these things have been hand-curated selection of comic creations, according to Dan Didio. They're giving a thematic digital long box to carry with them on the device of their choosing, and lets them watch exclusive video. Oh god, my coworker just texted me. I'm gonna read it after I finish this video statement. Lets them watch exclusive video content on a big screen, followed by the comic that inspired it, which is fucking awesome. So, some series, you have the original series of Titans, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, Young Justice, Outsiders, and Harley Quinn. Classic TV shows and movies, you get Superman 1 through 4, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Batman Ninja, the Birds of Prey television series,
okay, we can finally watch Batman Ninja.
The 1990 Flash series, Teen Titans, Super Friends, Legion of Superheroes, which everyone should fucking watch. That was a great show.
Indeed.
Young Justice, Static Shock, Lois and Clark,
Static Shock.
Constantine from 2014, Adventures of Superman, Max Fleischer's Superman serials, Superboy, the Batman animated series. Nice. I mean, come on. Wonder Woman 77. Animated movies include All-Star Superman, Batman vs. Robin, Batman Year One, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, Green Lantern First Flight, which is awesome, Gotham by Gaslight, Justice League Doom, incredible, Justice League vs. Teen Titans, Superman, Doomsday, and Wonder Woman. Apparently the Death of Superman animated movie came out, and it's the best animated movie that has existed.
Really?
Yeah, people are raving about it, and then if you look at the writer, it's like, oh, written by Peter Tomasi.
Okay.
The comic book series.
It's like he knows Superman what he's doing.
For the last 2 years.
I'm going to read this in reverse. Be special about it. Wonder Woman from 2011. The Flash from 2011. Teen Titans from 1965. So you got your Wolfman.
I know why you're doing it in reverse.
Okay. Swamp Thing from 1972. So you got Alan Moore and The Anatomy of the Green, which is amazing. Batman and Superman/Batman. Suicide Squad. My Greatest Adventure. Not sure what that one is. Justice League. 2011, so our new 52 overlords. The JLA from 97, which everyone at this table should fucking read because that was Mark Waid, Grant Morrison's run. It is the, I dare say, the best Justice League comic ever written.
You can't tell
that's a bold statement.
And then following that is Justice League International, and then you get Jeff Johns, Justice League.
That's why you did that.
I'm just saying, it's the best.
That's not what he was.
Harley Quinn from 2013, Green Lantern, Green Arrow Year One, Detective Comics from 1939, so you get to read the OG, Deathstroke, the Cyborg comic,
slightly racist
Batman from 2002, hopefully goes on from there, Aquaman from 2011, Adventure Comics from 1958, Action Comics from 1938, and the best series from 2006,
oh no,
52.
Okay.
The greatest story ever told. Because... but no one knows it was ever told because Dear Sweet Booster. Spit there a little bit. And it's also, you know, you have the greatest Booster story ever told, the greatest Ralph Dibny story ever told, the first appearance of Kate Kane as Batwoman and her first appearance ever. Just all these B-list characters coming together and, dare I say, even C-list. They're so good.
But what about the D list?
You are the person keeping those characters alive.
I am. So yeah, all these really cool things. I think I would definitely get the app.
That's a lot of content.
It's a lot of content.
Have they outlined how much it's going to cost?
Nope.
I'm assuming they're going to go with probably like a $9.99 a month.
I'm thinking more like $15, to be honest.
I think they might go Hulu $9.99. If you don't want commercials, then you're up to $15.
Or if you want, like, if you just want the tier. I feel like they might do tiered. They might do tiered of, like, if you just want the shows, it's this much. If you want the comics and everything else, it's this much. If you don't want ads, this
kind
much.
Kind of like a Sling TV, buy kind what of, you want, yeah. Sort of subscription.
I could see them doing that.
All right, so the thing my coworker texted me. In brief, if I don't know much DC, can I pick up Final Crisis and enjoy it? Grant Morrison's Final Crisis. It's a lot.
I did that, and I didn't understand half of it.
It's a lot.
That's not the easiest book to read.
I would have, if they want to jump into DC, give them my point, put them at Rebirth.
Yeah.
That was a very easy jumping on point.
He's aware of DC.
And if you're going to do Rebirth, you got to do Flashpoint. He does read certain stories. First.
You don't even need Flashpoint.
But the 10 years.
Give him the Flashpoint movie.
Yeah, there you go.
And then... throw him into Rebirth.
Yeah, but he's like, I have a hard time with
where do you even
Final
start
Crisis?
With Final Crisis?
You buy the trade and you have to read every issue in order.
But yeah, yes, that helps. But I mean, where do you start before that? because isn't there like a lot of build up to it?
Okay, so Final Crisis begins with the death of Orion, who was shot by a magical space-time bullet, because Darkseid at one point had
it. Darkseid is.
And I think Batman shot the bullet. It's been a long while since.
Yeah, it doesn't help that the trade is out of order.
But who shot Mr. Burns?
Wasn't it Maggie?
It was Maggie, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the Simpsons joke.
That was the... So, do you know where that came from? Like, what that was kind of referencing?
No.
So,
let me take a guess. Is it JFK?
No. Okay. So, everyone put on your old-timey suspenders, fire up your...
they're on.
Model T and get some penny candy.
Also, I gotta admit, in Final Crisis is when Grant Morrison invented the idea that new gods don't die, it's only their avatars that live in our world.
Okay.
Sorry, it's our fun fact about Grant Morrison of the day. Do we have an alarm for that yet? Or a sound effect?
Is it just a na-na-na-na-na-na?
I think it's Steve's frustration.
I wasn't talking or anything. That's cool. You just interrupted me, but whatever. So way back in ye olden times of like the 70s,
back a little far.
Not back to Model T's and penny candy, but there was a show. I think it was Dallas, but
I like the original Dallas before they rebooted it.
So on Dallas, way back when, there was an episode where a character named JR got shot. They didn't reveal who it was. It was a big mystery. And that led to who shot JR. It referred to the attempt on JR's life on A House Divided, the show's third season finale, which the mystery was not resolved until the fourth episode of the fourth season.
Okay.
Which aired 8 months later. So it was like the OG cliffhanger of which you didn't even get the resolution in the first season of the episode.
You had to wait.
Or the first episode of the season.
They would have
simmered. Yeah, you had to wait for four episodes, which everyone got super pissed about. Because again, this is before the time of the cliffhanger. That it's like, oh my god, how could they do this at the end of the season? Now I have to wait for a resolution.
Surprise.
And so Simpsons parodied that with like, who shot Mr. Burns? And didn't reveal it until a little ways down the road.
Man, that's Simpsons, man.
A little trivia for you.
Neat. So far, my text message consists of, it's a bit tough. Grant Morrison loves his lore and builds upon the entire history. And at that time, there's a ton of tie-ins. The main story itself is very disjointed without prior reading and knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you really look at it, Final Crisis is a Superman story. You get the League of Supermen, but the entire thing gets overshadowed by Batman dying.
Yep. But if you read the end of Final Crisis, then you go into Metal and you understand pretty much most of it from the get-go.
That's fair.
Because, yeah. I mean, Final Crisis more or less, or Metal is more or less a sequel to Final Crisis. In a weird way.
Yeah. Barbados and all that jazz. Yeah.
The tribes of Bat, the Bird, and the third one.
It's a love letter to Morrison in DC history right there. But anyways.
We have nothing from him, Tusky, this week. Or anyone else, I'm pretty sure. Unless he came in this morning. Let me check once more.
Then he has to really think about Jack Kirby's Fourth World stuff. And that's like another
whole thing. Oh, there is a response. Ooh. Oh, he... He fooled me. He did have something.
Legas.
Him, Tusky.
So him, Tusky,
whoever
writes in
you may be.
To z2podcast.com/comment like you can and says, who draws women in comics better? Frank Cho or... Oh, never mind. Frank Cho is the best deal with it. Hi, H. Tizzle out, bro. Now he's just trolling us.
Frank Cho is the biggest troll.
He's such an asshole.
Like... Again, it all started with the Spider-Woman cover that her body was bent in an unbelievable way. And now he just draws characters. In every commission he does, he draws like a slightly thicker Mary Jane Watson who can't fit into her jeans. because she keeps eating wheat cakes. And even for the Spider-Man 800 cover that he did, it's Spider-Man, Mary J. Watts in front and center. Then there's wheat cakes in the bottom left corner.
The fuck?
But let's be real.
Remember that Wonder Woman story he was going to write?
Yeah.
All that time ago?
That was not good.
God, he's such a dick.
I can top you, him, Tusky. Everyone should look up Red Monica from Battle Chasers.
Oh, I know Red Monica. I know that.
Do you Red Monica or Red Sonja?
No, I know Red Monica. I've heard about this.
Just keep talking. I don't know anything.
Well, you should give Red Monica a quick Google search.
I'm trying to formulate this text. You should just go.
Yep. Yep, that's...
There you go, Zach.
Yep, I remember this.
Thank you, Joe Mad.
Oh, sweet.
Love me my Battle Chasers, boy. But Red Monica.
It's like, why? You didn't have to, but you did.
Again, I love Battle Chasers. Fantastic series. But Joe Mad, why?
Come on.
Why Red Monica?
Come on.
Like, they at least toned her down in the game. She's still very curvaceous.
Voluptuous. It's not the worst outfit, though. I've seen worse, that's for sure.
Well, and then there is also the variant cover that I think was like issue 2.
I'm also thinking of Red Dragon, I think. There was something Tim actually told me about.
Where?
Not to be confused with
that. That was the variant cover of one of the issues.
Is.
The proportions are very off.
Is that her chest?
Yes.
In the front?
Yes.
The fuck is wrong with it? Looks like two eggs. Like two ostrich eggs.
It looks like flubber.
I was trying to think of, like, is she... How is she turning? Is that supposed to be?
Him, Tusky, balls in your court.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's something to go out on.
Meanwhile, Texty McTexterson still over there is texting instead of, I don't know, waiting till we're done.
It's a bit tough. Graham Morrison loves his lore and builds upon the entire history, and at the time, there was a ton of tie-ins. The main story is disjointed without prior reading and knowledge of his Batman run, Seven Soldiers of Victory, which technically Final Crisis was a sequel to, and Death of the New Gods. Like, I'm a big DC lore person, and read it alongside with notes and annotations from the internet. Great story. Yeah. If you understand
any of it.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact I found out, Matt and Marisha were almost on The Amazing Race during their internet season. They wanted to bring them in as the nerdy gaming couple. But
was that Bernie and Ashley instead?
It didn't directly say it, but they said the studio eventually decided not to go with them.
Why the fuck not?
Because Bernie and Ashley are way bigger and awesomer.
I'm sorry, though.
What?
If you're watching The Amazing Race and suddenly it's high noon.
But you're watching The Amazing Race and then you see Bernie in those gold short shorts
never forget the ultimate daddy body that was Bernie.
That was when he was pretty jacked, too.
Because he was training for The Amazing Race.
Yeah, like, I found out Amazing Race and he immediately went into training mode.
To Matt Mercer. But my God, that Bernie season was incredible.
It was great.
They were so narrowly lost.
Fucking close. They took the wrong turn. Oh, man. I was literally on the edge of my seat watching that episode where they got knocked out. I'm just like, no, Bernie! You fucked yourself!
Maybe they could do, like, an Amazing Race Critical Role edition. Have the main cast and...
After... You know, Travis and Laura.
But I mean, bring in Kari Payton.
Shakasta.
Bring in Will Friedle. Bring in Joe Manganiello. Actually, no, he'd be kind of cheating because the man's fucking
He's already shredded. Jacked.
But, like, that'd be so amazing.
Because it's a race.
Eats at ace.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, an entire, video... Like, I understand that one season was, their internet personalities because you also had, Tyler Oakley and a couple others. But I would love to see, the gamers just gamers. Like, Strawberry 17 did it, yeah. But, like, have PewDiePie there. Just, I don't know what I'm doing.
Have him get destroyed.
Please, just get you leave.
The Game Grumps. Oh, that would make my day.
It's Dan!
Just suddenly Dan and Aaron yelling
like, at each other the whole time.
They're actually on tour. They accidentally got on the TV show.
It's like, oh, look, Dan and Ninja Brian. Wait, is that twerp in the background?
And then you just see Bernie again in his gold shorts standing magnificently.
That'd be so great.
My new favorite fitness meme is, look, I understand you want those rock hard arms and shredded abs you can do laundry on, but think about when you're with your significant other. Do you want them to lie on rocks and pebbles, or do you want them to lie on the gut? The dad bod is the ultimate dream. And I'm like, no, I do feel a little bit better.
You make a solid argument there.
Real quick on sidetrack weirdness, Zach, did I ever share with you the mathematical quantifying of fucks?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the actual unit of a fuck ton.
Oh, yeah, and how a imaginary fuck actually exists. And negative and positive fucks.
What about a flying fuck? How does that...
Legend has spoken of them, but I have seen them.
Hasn't been proven yet.
So my coworker says he picked up Final Crisis from the library. He likes Morrison, so he'll check out. That's why he got it.
I have the internet on the side.
You might need some context clues here.
You need a side of Wikipedia.
Why is Orion dead? Wait, how come the universe just changed because this dude solved a Rubik's Cube in 17 turns? Like, there's so much stuff that I'm just like, what?
Grant Morrison,
but
are you sure?
Final Crisis was a great prequel to Multiversity.
Yeah. I don't know if that Multiversity 2 will ever happen.
One day. He said maybe. One day.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And with that, we're going to end this lovely episode of the Z2 Podcast so we can go watch some anime.
I need to cook.
And cook.
I need to eat.
I'm fasting. I haven't ate in 5 hours. I'll eat again in 11 hours.
When does your fast technically end?
I'm going to try and go for the end of the month.
I mean, like, what times?
Oh, 7 to 3. Yeah, every day. That's the only time I'm allowed to eat.
Neat.
And I have fun with that. So far lost anyway, like 4 pounds. And with that, I suggest you all try intermittent fasting. I'm kidding. But thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode. If you like us, you should head over to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher,
Spotify,
SoundCloud, whatever you listen to us, and leave us a comment, a review.
Podcast thing, whatever they call it. I think it's just Google Podcast. Music. Well, yes, but they also have Google Podcasts now.
Oh, I should see if they have all the podcasts that I actually like on there.
I think it's literally just, we took the podcast and just put them in an app now.
Swag. So check us out, leave us a rating, give us a thumbs up, help spread the word, maybe share us on Facebook, because we like you guys, we do this for you, and it'd be really cool to get a few more listeners, because we would like some new opinions. I love you, Tim, and Jim,
and him,
and him,
and Brittany, and him, and everyone else who listens to us and leaves us some comments and feedback. I don't know what else to say, so thank you guys for listening, love you, internet.
Okay, bye.
Oh, you can leave a comment at
z2podcast.com/comment, as I mentioned earlier.
If you don't mind, share us around. Share some... Phone, you're locked. Why are you speaking to me? Shh.
Do you have YouTube Red with background listening?
You mean YouTube Premium now?
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing when I logged on to YouTube and I saw Premium in the top left corner. I'm like,
what is this?
What are you?
But yeah, share us. Facebook, Twitter. Tell your friends about us. Threaten your friends. Make them listen to us.
Appreciate it.
Show them your favorite episode.
Okay.
And
thanks, bye.
You can interact with us on Facebook and Twitter and all those other things, and we'll talk about it to you and bye with you and love you, internet.
Did you have a stroke?